The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 25, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 19th, 2006, in New Gavardhan, Australia.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 25. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavritam mudhoyam abhijanati loko mamajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible, reported by Srila Prabhupada. It may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna as being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yogamaya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishopanishad, Mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, Hiramayena patrena satyasya pahitam mukham tatvam pusham napavrinu satya dharmaya drishtaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya. The Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge, is covered by the internal potency of the Brahma Jyoti, and thus the less intelligent and personalist cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7, there is this prayer by Brahma, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn, but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are also inexhaustible. Mama jnanate madambasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun miritam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Krishna is never manifested to foolish and unintelligent. So what does that mean to us? And if we want to see Krishna, we cannot be foolish and we cannot be unintelligent. If we want to see Krishna, then we have to become intelligent. Of course, some lady just wrote me today, on my e-course, she just wrote me, she said, you know, I try to see God when I meditate. I try to really see Him and I can't do it. That's not the method. I said, then, okay, I'm going to try to see God now. No. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told us, you don't try to see God, you try to act in such a way that He will see you. So, this is intelligence. If we want to have that contact directly with God, then we have to do such nice service that He will want to come and bless us with His darshan, His vision. We have to do very, very nice service. Actually, the Lord is always there, as we've been explaining in the last day. The Lord is there. The Lord is already present, but as pointed out here by Prabhupada, there is a curtain. That's it. The Lord actually is right here, right now, but there's a curtain covering our vision. Cannot see through that curtain. So the devotee prays in the Ishupanishad, please remove that curtain so that I can see your form of bliss standing before me. We cannot gate crash our way into that dimension where Krishna is visible. It is not by brute force. We must qualify ourselves by very, very, very sincere service mood. Humble service mood. That, my dear Lord, I am your eternal servant. Somehow there I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Just we must humbly place ourselves at the lotus feet of the Lord and beg Him to give us some corner, some little place of residence in His lotus foot. All we need is service, actually. Nothing else is required. Anything else is superficial, actually. All material facilities are more or less superficial because we are not the body. So all material facilities are more or less superficial. Some degree of comfort we must accept, but that should not be the end-all and be-all of our existence. How to make nice arrangements for the body. Simply, we make comfortable arrangements so that we can peacefully absorb ourselves in bhakti 24 hours daily. That is the point. How to get the material arrangements done in a simple, efficient way so that I can focus my energies on doing my actual business, developing Krishna consciousness, diving deeper and deeper into that ocean of Namamrita. You see, we are all meant to be deep sea divers. Diving very deep into the ocean of Namamrita. That is, as you know, supposed to be a deep sea diver. This is a deep sea diving school. Yeah. This is a diving school. We're teaching our members how to dive deep into that ocean of Namamrita. It's much deeper than the Pacific. Pacific is just a shallow little pond compared to Namamrita, that ocean. Back in the old roadshow days, when we were traveling with the big Radha-damodar, Vishnu Jan Maharaj, we used to have a song we would sing. It's part of our rock opera. Prabhupada actually watched, he attended a performance of our rock opera, and he really liked it. He applauded. After each song. In those days, devotees didn't applaud. That's something that karmis do. So there was only one person in the audience that applauded after each number, and that was Prabhupada. All the devotees just sat silently. The Prabhupada applauded after each number. It was interesting. But we had a nice song. The nectar of devotion is an ocean of bliss. Can you taste the nectar? Can you taste the nectar? It's like that. It's actually like that. It's an ocean of bliss. This Krishna consciousness movement is an ocean of bliss. Sometimes we get distracted by some of the crud that's floating on the surface and we forget. Maybe a few pieces of crud floating on the surface of the ocean. We forget that it's, and we get caught up, we get distracted by all the crud on the surface. We forget it's an ocean of bliss. You just gotta dive deep. And what is the diving instrument? That is chanting. There's so many means. We have so many means of diving deeper and deeper and deeper into that ocean of bliss. Hearing Bhagavad Gita, discussing Bhagavad Gita, chanting, serving Vaishnavas, growing food for Krishna, you see, cultivating the garden, cultivating so many, stringing garlands. We have so many, you know, so doing the cooking, cleaning, collecting money, preaching. We have an unlimited field of actions, and each and every one of those actions, any one of those actions will take us deeper and deeper and deeper. They fall into 9 categories. Nava vidha bhakti. Shavana kirtana smanana vandana padaha sevana dashare pujana sakijana admani vedana govinda dasa vilasade. Poet Govinda Das. He's praying to his mind, my dear mind. Bajahu re mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanada Vindare. My dear mind, just engage yourself in the devotional service of that beautiful, effulgent, divine son of Nanda Maharaj. Govardhan Daddy, you see. You just absorb yourself in Govardhan Daddy. Don't serve wicked and miserly men. Just absorb yourself in Govardhan Daddy. That's that beautiful, amazingly wonderful little boy of Nanda Maharaj. But Prabhupada explains in his wonderful purport to this song. But the mind may object. Govinda Das, you're taking away this, you're taking away that. What will I do? You see? Just like we say, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no television, no mundane DVDs, you know. Hope I didn't step on any toes. But this is our program. You see. This is our program. So the mind may object, but what do you want me to do? I mean, you've taken everything away. The late night movie? I mean, what am I going to do? You're taking it all away. Where will I get the nectar now? I need rus. I need juice. I need to get high and stay high forever. Where? How will I get off the material plane and soar in euphoria now? You see? You're taking away all my sense gratification. So Govindadas says, no problem. You see, Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana. You see, Pujana Saki Jana. This way. He lives the 9 different ways. So actually, it is not a problem to take to Krishna consciousness. It is not a problem to give up the shackles of material existence. Even though they appear very wonderful, they appear to be golden shackles. You see? Give up your chains. But my chains are so beautiful. They're like gold. Golden chains. You see? My sex pleasure, my intoxication. It appears my all varieties of eating. And I can go to any restaurant I want and eat. You Hare Krishnas, you have to go only to Hare Krishna restaurants and temples. I can go anywhere. I can get on the airplane and take the meal with no anxiety. You Hare Krishnas, you sit there and eat out of your brown bag, you see, on the airplane. So I'm enjoying more than you. You see. They may think of me. But actually, it is simply poor fund of knowledge. One who is actually realized in transcendental understanding. They taste the sweetest nectar every minute. They relish the most wonderful, sublime flavor. Every minute for such a person is delicious and nutritious also. It's relishable plus it nourishes their spiritual advancement. In that sense, nutritious. We want to take healthy food full of vitamin values. So we become strong and healthy and we have good brain substance. Isn't it? Yes. So this activity known as Krishna consciousness. It is not only enjoyable, but it is also most highly beneficial. Because it liberates one from birth, death, old age, and disease. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Who wants to get sick? Does any of you like to get sick? Who likes to become old, go hard of hearing like me, lose their hearing? Anybody want to lose their hearing? Become an old man? What was that? Nobody wants to lose their hearing or go blind. You see? But yet, we are being dragged birth after birth after birth through so many embarrassing, disturbing, painful, agitating, downright depressing situation. It stinks. It stinks big time, material existence. Therefore, there is no greater fortune than coming in contact with bona fide guru. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyamanji guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. It was our great good fortune to have that contact with such a great spiritual master, the greatest spiritual master in the history. Divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj. Therefore, we can see practically how true is that statement of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I can study where I was before I came in contact with Prabhupada. And I can compare where I am after having come in contact with Srila Prabhupada. The difference is practically, it's just night and day would be an understatement. The impact that the pure devotee has, the bona fide spiritual master, the impact that he has on those persons who sincerely take shelter of him is immeasurable, actually. You cannot quantify that. It's immeasurable. Because the spiritual master, the bona fide guru, elevates the disciple out of this material existence into another dimension. Prabhupada explains, deathlessness begins at initiation. When one actually takes shelter of the bona fide spiritual master at the time of initiation and sticks to his vows, he is no longer a resident of Marchaloka. Only a visitor. He's no longer a resident of this place. He now becomes a citizen of Pada Vyama, the spiritual sky. He becomes a Vaikuntha citizen, full fledged. Vaikuntha passport. This is the great mercy of coming in contact with bona fide guru. Because he plants the seed of bhakti within the heart, and if one waters that seed, and one protects that seed from weeds and from mad elephants who will trample it to death, then one can actually achieve that supreme perfection that even great sages are not able to achieve. There are so many great sages who are hung up at the level of Brahman realization, Paramatma realization. But if one comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, as we have been blessed in this movement with Srila Prabhupada's dust from his lotus feet, if one comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master, then one can achieve that level of spiritual perfection which is rarely, rarely achieved, very rarely achieved, even amongst realized personalities. This is the cream of the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop. Bhagavan realization. Many personalities converge into Brahman. But Krishna very rarely gives bhakti. Because when one achieves Krishna bhakti, Krishna becomes purchased. He becomes the personal property of his devotee. Just as Yashoda Mai is controlling Krishna with her whipping stick. Krishna becomes the personal property of his pure devotees. So therefore, pure bhakti is very, 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 very rarely given. But by the mercy of such a bona fide spiritual master as his divine grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The sincere follower can achieve that rarest of all perfections, Bhagavan realization. So even though it's described in this verse, Krishna practically doesn't ever manifest to anyone in this age, because everyone is foolish and unintelligent. In spite of the fact that he never manifests to the foolish and unintelligent, one by the grace of the bona fide spiritual master can get the intelligence, can get the vision that will enable him to actually reestablish his lost loving relationship with that all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowing, all-wealthy, and all-famous Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Isn't it great what Prabhupada has given us? Isn't it inconceivably great what Srila Prabhupada has given us? Yes, it is inconceivably great what Prabhupada has given us. That's it. Jai. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for so kindly giving us this Krishna prem. So now we can ask if there's any questions. Enunciate clearly and loudly. I might be able to hear it. I'm lucky. If you have any questions. Yes. Okay. You, what was the first thing? Start off at the beginning.
Sorry. I read a long time ago that all chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is
it? You read?
Chanting Hare Krishna mantra, chanting, was a complete waste unless it actually being initiated. And I was wondering, is that true?
All right. You, somewhere chanting of Hare Krishna is completely waste of time unless one is initiated.
Oh, okay. Is it a waste of time to chant Hare Krishna if you're not initiated? Okay. Yes and no. Prabhupada does say in the Nectar Devotion that unless you're initiated, Krishna doesn't accept your service. So if you take that statement out of the context of everything else that Prabhupada said, then you could argue it is a waste of time. But we have to take every statement in the context of all the other statements. So actually, chanting Hare Krishna before initiation is extremely valuable. Why? Because by doing so, you become qualified to be initiated. Certain amount of chanting.
Yeah, accumulates.
Accumulates, like you get a certain amount.
And then you qualify to... I heard Prabhupada say one time that if you do so much bhakti, you get assets and finally you qualify to go back to Godhead. It sounded like kind of like, you know, enough saving up enough for a ticket. And then once you get enough, you can go. Prabhupada actually described it like that one time. So... we have, you know, we have to look at it from all the we have to read clearly, carefully all of Prabhupada's books and see everything in the perspective of all the statements that he's made, and that will give us the proper balanced understanding. Now, any chanting that one does is extremely valuable. initiation doesn't actually come until the third step. There's steps to the perfection. Initiation is on the third step. So there is advancement that is made before initiation. The first step is called Shraddha, where one develops faith. You can make a lot of progress on that platform. And then you go to the next stage is called Sadhu Sangha, associating with devotees. You can make a lot of advancement there too. The third stage is Bhajana Kriya, and that's where you get initiated. So you do make advancement. It's like, you know, going from here to Los Angeles or something. You know, you stop somewhere. There's one stop along the way. You've made some progress. Now you go to the next stop. Just like on our trip, you're going to Sydney, Melbourne, Nandi, and then back to the U.S. So every stop is some progress along the way. So by your chanting, if one is chanting before initiation, they are making progress. But they can't. The point is, they cannot go all the way to prema without initiation. That initiation is required to go all the way to perfection. Even to get to anartanavritti requires initiation, where you can clean all the dirt out of the heart. So yes, you can make some preliminary advancement. But at a certain point, you got to really be serious if you want to go all the way. And you have to find that person who can connect you with Prabhupada. You see, one has to find that person who can connect one with this Prabhupada Sampradaya. That's important. We need to find some Prabhupada disciple that we can latch on to as our spiritual master. Because this is the system that Prabhupada gave us. He told us in Los Angeles, he said, "My Guru Maharaj is the 10th in the line from Lord Chaitanya. I'm the 11th and you are the 12th. So he wanted us, he ordered us to take this post of a link in the disciplic succession as a service. Just that he is accepted as a service on behalf of his Guru Maharaj. He wanted us to do the same thing on his behalf. Actually, ultimately, it's Krishna who's doing everything. And while we're just all servants, that's all. It's Krishna who's ultimately saving all of us. But he does it through the medium of his devotees. Prabhupada explains this in the third canto, that Krishna is the actual doer of an episode, but he wants to see that his devotee is the hero of that episode. It's like he told Arjuna, "Arjun, you go forward and fight this battle and take credit for having defeated the enemy. Actually, they've already been killed. But I want you to fight and take the credit." Krishna wants to see his devotees get the credit. So actually, Lord Chaitanya has already delivered the whole universe, described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he wants his followers to go out and spread this movement and get credit for being preachers, for being spiritual masters, etc. That pleases Krishna. He wants to see his devotees become glorified. Even though ultimately he's the one who's doing everything. It's like Krishna killing all the enemies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra for Arjuna. Arjuna was empowered to act on behalf of Krishna. So the preacher is empowered to act on behalf of the previous acharyas. This gives pleasure to Krishna and to the previous acharya. Any other questions? I saw your hand first.
It's to do with Narada Muni in his previous life. He didn't get initiated, but Krishna appeared before him. Was he in love? Did he taste Krishna praying then? Or was it?
So, Narada Muni. So, you're asking if Narada Muni was initiated in that?
Yeah, before he, Krishna appeared before
Well, it could be argued he was initiated by the Bhakti Vedantas, by getting the remnants of their prasadam, and that initiated him. That could be argued. Because that had the transforming power on him. And he got the Mahaprasad from the Bhakti Vedantas in the forest. That could be argued. Because they did have a transforming... That's what turned him around. You see. When he got the Mahaprasad of the Bhakti Vedantas in the forest. So just as he got turned around by the Bhakti Vedantas, I also got turned around by a Bhakti Vedanta. The ceremony, you know, the actual ceremony or ritual may be different, but the principle is the same.
I recently spoke to a fairly young man, about 30, okay. When we were catering at a festival, and...
What was that?
We were working, selling prasadam at a festival.
Oh, prasadam distribution at a festival, you met him, okay.
And he had a tattoo of Krishna on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that when he was younger, he went to India on a search, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually went there to see Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm.
But he heard the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, and he was just sitting somewhere one day, and he was just singing it to himself. And he said that he went into like a trance, and he said that he actually saw Krishna walk towards him and put his hand into his chest and touch his heart.
Uh-huh.
And he said that...
That's a pretty far out vision.
Yeah. And I was taking him seriously because he seemed serious. And
well, sometimes Krishna does things for ordinary people to really bless him. And Prabhupada gives a story of some lady who was just carrying some sticks on her shoulder through the forest. She wasn't a devotee. Just some lady struggling with some poor woman struggling carrying a burden of sticks on her shoulder, and they get so heavy. She just couldn't carry it. She's about to drop it. She said, "Krishna, Krishna." And he came. Krishna actually appeared to her, Prabhupada explained. He asked her what she wanted. She said, "Can you..." She had actually dropped the sticks. And she called and she said, "Can you put the sticks back on my shoulder?" I mean, Prabhupada tells this as a true story. So sometimes Krishna, even to an ordinary person, he can give special mercy. He's not bound by any, you know, Krishna is not bound by anything. Krishna could actually do that if he wanted to.
Yeah, he said he couldn't eat or sleep for about a week afterwards. And he became very interested in Krishna, and he went to some temples. And then he said when he came back to Australia, he completely lost motivation because he was so upset that he was in a body. After that experience.
Well, he needs Krishna consciousness now, so he can function.
Yeah, he said...
You have to make him a devotee. Train him. He's gotten some special mercy from Krishna. Now you have to say, "Now Krishna wants me to teach you how to actually be his devotee and absorb yourself in pure bhakti." You have to take charge of him now. Be his mentor, his teacher.
Yeah, he had a Bhagavad Gita and he's still got the beads from India.
You taught him how to chant the mantra on the beads?
Well, he knew.
Yeah, very good.
He read
he requires now to be guided by those who are actually fixed in sadhana bhakti. So he can, that little special mercy he got, now he can take full advantage of it. You've gotten some special mercy, there's no doubt. So now he has to be guided how to fully utilize that special mercy he's gotten by actually taking up seriously sadhana bhakti. So you kindly make sure he gets fixed on this path. You must take responsibility. Krishna has brought you in contact with him for a reason. You have to make sure that he goes back to Godhead. See, without a guru, it would naturally be very confusing. I also had an experience with Krishna before I had a guru, and I was very confused. I was just going to go to India and just be a beggar for the rest of my life. That's the only thing I could figure out to do. I was so bewildered, I didn't know how to relate to the world. I just said, I was going to go to India and just be a beggar. That's all I could think about. But then at the last minute, on my way to India, I got this whole thing. Something told me you're supposed to go to San Francisco instead. So I went to San Francisco. I walked into Golden Gate Park, Haight Ashbury, and who did I run into? Hare Krishna, Hare Nam Party. Come to our temple, that famous 518 Frederick, the original San Francisco temple. They invited me to 518 Frederick Street. So, now you have to take charge of this boy, this young man, and help him. Because without the contact, a bona fide spiritual master, you see. When you get some, I mean, I had a very powerful Krishna conscious experiences, but you know what I ended up thinking? That I was Krishna, Mayavad. It was very mystical. I had these experiences with a poster of Krishna. I would worship it. I would sit every night and worship this poster of Radha and Krishna and chant Hare Krishna in front of a candle with incense. And it was like really, really mystical. But I didn't know what to do with all this energy. I finally figured I must be Krishna. You know? So they really need to have a bona fide spiritual master. And they get some impetus like that. They need someone who can really guide them. Very important thing. Take it as your most important service. Make sure he doesn't take birth again. Very seriously, you must take him under your wing, guide him, teach him and train him how to be Krishna conscious. Any other questions? Looks like it's time for the arati. So we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.